Mrs. Kennerson, Mr. Michielek.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm Mark Michielek, but the case is United States versus Taylor.
This is the Taylor case. Right. I'm sorry. I got confused.
May it please the Court. I'm Mark Michielek, appointed counsel for Mr. Taylor. Your Honors, in the government's brief, they argue that the child's case controls here. And I think that the child's case is distinguishable from Mr. Taylor's situation in a number of ways. First of all, Mr. Taylor was subject to a stop conducted by KMEG agents, drug interdiction agents, who were carrying out a programmatic series of stops where they testified during the suppression hearing that they asked for consent and engaged in drug sniffs on every person that they stopped. A reasonable person in Mr. Taylor's situation would have believed that he was immediately subject to something other than a normal traffic stop. The agents who stopped him were clad in bulletproof vests, tactical gear. They had a drug dog with them, and they were in a specially equipped Dodge Durango, unmarked.
Didn't the district court find that Mr. Taylor consented to the search before the dog was even brought around the vehicle?
Yes, before the dog was brought around the vehicle, Your Honor. My understanding from reviewing the transcript is that the agents ordered Mr. Taylor to get out of the car, said to Mr. Taylor, would you consent to a search? And this dog is going to be sniffing your vehicle. And I believe Mr. Taylor would have thought that he essentially had no choice. Of course, the controlling Supreme Court precedent says that a dog sniff does not implicate the Fourth Amendment, that it's not a search. And I recognize that that's a serious obstacle in this case. Prior counsel in the district court argued that, nevertheless, by immediately expanding the stop from a traffic sort of stop into a drug investigation, the agents admitted during the suppression hearing that they did not engage in any, they didn't even start writing a ticket for Mr. Taylor for his seatbelt violation. They went right into asking for consent to search, bringing the dog out to sniff, and had the dog go in the vehicle, and then discovered the drugs. So in the trial court, Mr. Taylor relied on the Jerez decision. And what happened in that case was the drug interdiction agents in Milwaukee went up to a hotel room and started knocking on the door because they had a hunch that the people inside might be drug traffickers. Even though the agents in Milwaukee spent about 2 or 3 minutes knocking on the doors, this court still said that the agents had engaged in impermissible expansion of the normal kind of consensual encounter that the law clearly allows any kind of law enforcement agent to engage in. And that's what Childs is about. It's about an agent or an officer simply asking questions. The Childs decision, of course, is the en banc decision that reversed the panel of three, which held that asking questions that aren't related to the purpose of a traffic stop is a seizure or a search under the Fourth Amendment. Now, it's clear from the Supreme Court that simply asking questions is just fine. That's not a search or a seizure. But here, as a part of this program of drug interdiction, what the agents did is, through a show of authority, got Mr. Taylor to consent to a search. At least that's what the district court found.
I don't have anything to base your argument on. I mean, there's no law that supports you.
Well, Your Honor, I think that the...
As long as they're allowed to stop him and for violating traffic laws and ask questions, well, I don't know what leg you have to stand on.
Well, I think that back when the Fourth Amendment was adopted...
What?
I think back when the Fourth Amendment was adopted, Your Honor, the founders would not have found it reasonable for someone stopping a carriage to have...
Well, they didn't know about cars back then, right?
That's why he said carriage.
I see that my light's on. If there's no more questions, I'll take a seat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Michalik. Ms. Mullen?
Good morning. May it please the Court, Counsel Linda Mullen on behalf of the United States. Our position in this case, I'm going to boil down to about two or three sentences. This was a traffic stop based upon probable cause. The officers quickly obtained two independent bases to search this car. One was Taylor's consent, and the other was the positive alert by the trained narcotics dog. At that point, they searched the car. They found the crack cocaine under the driver's floor mat. The officers' actions throughout the stop were reasonable. They did nothing that they weren't permitted to do, and so we would ask that this court affirm the district court.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there evidence in this case as to what happens when this task force runs the dog around the vehicle and the dog does not alert? In other words, is the traffic citation still given, or is the person allowed to leave without any citation at all? If no traffic citation is given, wouldn't that indicate that the traffic offense has nothing to do with the stop at all? I mean, I'm just very curious about it.
That really wasn't fleshed out below what happens when the dog doesn't alert. There was some testimony about how often the dog alerts, and I think that was about 50% of the time, according to the officer. Again, the officers here, though, didn't do anything that they weren't permitted to do. There was a seatbelt violation. The district court found that. They did issue the seatbelt violation ticket in this case. So I don't know what they typically do. I don't think anybody's arguing here, and at least we're not arguing, that these were not drug interdiction officers, that they weren't looking to do drug investigations. But again, I think we have to look at what they actually did here and whether their actions were permissible under the law and reasonable in this case.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you have anything further, Mr. Michalik? Okay. And, yeah, go ahead.
I think that the agents did what they did because they were believed that they were able to manipulate the laws. I think that...
I don't know why you say manipulate. They're enforcing the laws. Of course, they wouldn't if they weren't interested in drugs. That's obvious. But so what?
Well, I think it creates an environment that has there's a serious.
We're long past that. I mean, these police practices are absolutely commonplace.
And I think that's unfortunate because I think it denigrates people's respect for the law because they see officers cynically using exceptions to what people understand to be their rights in order to reach the ends that they're hoping to. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Michelle. And you were appointed, were you not?
Yes, Your Honor.
So we thank you for accepting the appointment.
My pleasure.
The last case for our